Hi there, I'm Kate McClellan, and I've been a professional wedding planner for 20 years now. I started Planning Collective when I noticed that though most couples are super excited about being engaged, they quickly feel overwhelmed and intimidated by the actual process of planning a wedding. If left unchecked, this can lead to massive burnout and the urge to scrap all your plans and just elope. While this is totally normal, you don't have to sacrifice your sanity for your dream wedding. In the Planning Collective podcast, I'm going to share the processes, tips, and tools that engaged couples like you need to feel confident, supported, and excited about your wedding plans again. Let's get started. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today's episode is focused on helping you enjoy your wedding day to the fullest by being prepared for those stressful moments that you just know are going to pop up. Let's get right into it with my 10 steps to a stress-free wedding. Number one, hire professionals. This is the one tip that's really aimed at the early stages in planning. So if your vendors are all hired, you can focus on the rest of the episode. However, if you're still building out your vendor team, selecting the right team can be the difference between dealing with chaos on your wedding day or a stress-free wedding day. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, you get what you pay for, and this is where it starts to come into play for your wedding. Those too good to be true deals will start to show themselves as you get closer and closer to the wedding day, meaning you're going to see how prepared and professional your vendor team really is. Now, I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm also not saying that you need to hire the most expensive vendor in any category by any means, but make sure as you're in the booking process that you're keeping the wedding day in mind and how you react in certain situations. We'll get more into that in just a second, but an example would be with a DJ. Let's say you're thinking about saving a couple $100 by adding in your own ceremony music rather than having the DJ provide it. Think about what that's going to mean for you on the wedding day. So it's not just making a Spotify playlist of ceremony songs, but what about the sound equipment? Who's going to bring that? Where are you going to store it at the venue? All of those little pieces. The second part of this point is for those that are thinking about having family or friends serve a role on your wedding team. I'm not going to spend too much time on this in this episode, but if you're considering DIYing something or maybe having family or friends help you out, make sure you really think about what that will add to your plate in the days, weeks, or month before your wedding. Will doing your flowers mean that you and your family and wedding party will be in full production mode that week before? Who will not just set up the flowers on the wedding day, but also tear everything down after the wedding? Same questions if you're thinking about renting some speakers and creating that Spotify playlist. Will everything have to be picked up and set up within a tight time frame? Who will serve as the MC and be keeping an eye on the playlist to make sure everything is running smoothly? The point is, make sure that you've thought through all of the extra details that will fall on your shoulders if you do not bring a professional in a certain category. Number two, plan things out by visually walking through the day. All right, we're going to take this one back to my ice skating days and a pre-competition practice that we used to always do. It might seem a little woo-woo to some, but it could really help you get clear with some of the details. So we'd sit down somewhere comfy and we'd close our eyes and play the program music while we visualized going through the program. We would picture everything, the ring doors where the competition was, the crowd that would be watching, and how it felt to step out on the ice. And then through every step of the program. As the wedding day gets closer, I really encourage you to do the same thing. Sit down and really visualize yourself going through the day, the weekend, or the full week. And I want you to be realistic about this because this is different than daydreaming about like the perfect wedding day. The point of this is to think of the non-dreamy moments so that you can be prepared. Keep a piece of paper or your notes app close by because this is when you're going to think about things like, who's going to pick up and deliver the ice that day? What about the people that are getting there before a valet? Where are they going to park? Or making sure that you pack your brunch outfit with your wedding day items. The more you can think realistically about the day and the weekend, the clearer those things will come to you. Number three, keep in mind past stressors or triggers. Now, this is another reflection exercise, but this time I want you to think back on exciting events of the past. So maybe graduations or other times that have had a lot of stress or excitement. Did you break out in hives before every dance recital? Maybe you came close to a panic attack before a big presentation at work. As the wedding gets closer, the energy and excitement will be similar to those past moments. So it's really helpful to think back and try and remember what helped you feel better in those moments, or more importantly, what could have helped you feel better in those moments if they didn't go as well as you had hoped. Just like the last exercise, the point of this is to anticipate what feelings might pop up or how your body might react in an excited or nerve-wracking situation, so you can be ready to deal with that if it happens again. Things like making sure that you have Benadryl on hand in case the hives start to pop up, plan in some time for meditation or deep breathing, or even have your Xanax ready for when the anxiety might start to creep in. Number four is an important one, and that's to limit the number of things that need to be set up that day, especially by you or your wedding party. During the planning stages, it's very tempting to try to save some money by opting to set things up yourself. For example, many rental companies will base their price on dropping things off and leaving you to set them up. For example, delivering tables, chairs, and other items stacked, but they won't actually set them up under your tent or in your venue. There's typically an option for them to set everything up for you for an additional cost. Usually it's around like a dollar a table or maybe 50 cents a chair. And in the planning stages, this might seem like a super quick way to save a couple $100. But make sure you're thinking through the details of how that will work. If your wedding's at your home and everything will be dropped off a couple of days before, giving you plenty of time to set up, fantastic. Save the money. But if you're at a venue that you have limited access to, this can make your day really stressful. For example, there's a local venue just up the road from me that is run by the city, and you don't have access to set up until noon that day. They don't supply any tables or chairs, so you always need to bring those in. We've had several couples there plan to have the groomsmen or family meet us there to set everything up. But once we start getting into the reality of the timeline for the day, they realize this is going to lead to a super tight prep time before photos. Even if you, as the bride or the groom, are not involved in the setup, can you imagine fielding the calls for how many chairs should be at each table from your wedding party, or stressing about making sure that your people are setting things up right while you're trying to relax and get your hair and makeup done? Same thing when it comes to DIY florals or other time-consuming setup items. Really think about how much stress the project will add on to the wedding day or the week of versus how much money you will be saving. Number five, communicate wedding party and family expectations well in advance of the wedding week. It doesn't matter how organized you are, the week and day of your wedding, you're going to have everyone asking you questions about when they need to be somewhere, what's the dress code, who's invited, can I bring my significant other? I recommend that you put together a Google Doc with all of the important information that your wedding party and family will need to have, and send that out to everyone the month before the wedding. That way, when they inevitably call, email, or text you with questions, you can easily share the link and remind them that the information is in the doc. I wish that would prevent them from calling, emailing, or texting to begin with, but again, it's inevitable, but having that document ready will save you a lot of stress. Here are a few things that I would recommend you include in that document, but try not to make it too lengthy or they'll likely skim and not read the entire thing. The first thing is the timeline for the weekend, and make sure that you're including the times that they need to arrive for the rehearsal, the wedding day activities, and a post-wedding brunch if you're having one. Number two, the addresses for each of these locations, including your getting ready locations if they're different from the other venue. Number three, any parking instructions for the weekend's events, especially if they will be taking a shuttle with you at some point and may need to leave a car somewhere that they have to arrange to get. Number four, dress codes for each of the events and any specific instructions that they make, like shoe or jewelry colors or preferences. Number five, hair and makeup prep instructions for the ladies, like should they arrive with freshly washed hair or do they prefer for it to be dirty? Do they need to bring cash for their hair and makeup payments, and so on? And number six, Include everyone's contact information or at least the cell numbers of those VIP members of the family or wedding party. That way, if someone does have a more urgent question or needs to get a hold of the two of you, but you're busy or stepped away from your phone, it could be very helpful for everyone to have your parents' numbers or maid of honor and best man's so they have the list to pull up to reach somebody in the wedding. Moving on to number 6, try to have a touch point with every guest, but don't stress about it. While the traditional receiving line is kind of fading, most couples still want to make sure that they have an opportunity to at least say hello to every guest on the day of the wedding. If you're not familiar, a receiving line is when the couple waits most commonly at the base of the aisle after the ceremony or at the doors as you open them into the reception room. And they greet every guest as they go by, thanking them for attending. Now, it certainly does accomplish the goal of connecting with each guest, but it takes forever. Even a small guest count can really take a long time to get through the receiving line because you have no control really over how long you're talking to each person. You might try to keep it quick, but they might want to talk a little bit. The current popular alternative is what we call table rounds, and that is when the couple goes around to the dinner tables after dinner to say hello to everyone. The two of you will be served dinner first, so you'll have the time to do this while the rest of the guests are eating and finishing up their dinner. And while this is a great alternative, it can still take a long time, and if you have a larger wedding, you might not have time to get to everybody. So the tip that I share with my couples is to look at your seating chart in advance of the wedding day with these table rounds in mind and come up with a plan for the tables that you must visit. So most couples will start with the tables closest to them first, which would likely be your parents, maybe immediate family, wedding party. But keep in mind the goal of the table rounds and focus on the tables with the guests that you will likely not see throughout the rest of the weekend. It sounds a bit odd, but who are the guests that you're least likely to talk to? Who are the ones that are going to be leaving early? They're probably the ones that are maybe your parents' friends or coworkers of your parents, older guests that aren't going to stay later through the evening. Make sure that you're hitting those tables first because you're going to be out on the dance floor with your wedding party. You're hanging out with your family throughout the rest of the weekend. If you don't actually get a chance to stop and say hello to them during those table rounds, it's not that big of a deal because you're going to have touch points with them throughout the weekend. So focus on the tables that you're likely not going to be hanging out with throughout the rest of the weekend to make sure that anyone who leaves can say, yes, we had a chance to say hello, and they don't feel like they were ignored. Number 7 is an important one, and it is plan out your family photos ahead of time. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but family photos can be one of the most stressful times of the wedding day. You're likely getting a bit exhausted from the photos at this point, and it just can be anxious having that many people around when you add in the distracted family members and wedding parties, tight timeframes, and everyone coming at you with questions. It can get really frustrating. But if you plan it out ahead of time, it can run so much smoother. So what does planning it ahead of time entail? First, check with your photographer to see if they have a worksheet or something they want you to fill out to put together your family photo list. Most have some kind of process to help you organize this, so asking them what structure or what grouping they like to have things in will make things really easy. If your photographer doesn't have something, or maybe you want to get a head start, we do have pre-wedding worksheets that include the family photo list in the Planning Collective membership as a part of our templates. So you can definitely grab those there, planningcollective.com/membership. Once you have your family photo list compiled, make sure to share it with, of course, your photographer, if you have a day of coordinator, and most importantly, the family members that will be needed in the photos. They will need to know if they need to stay at the ceremony site or get somewhere earlier than that. So this is a crucial step that's going to help save you from having someone run around trying to track people down or making sure that they didn't leave the ceremony accidentally, forgetting that they needed to stay for family photos. I also highly recommend that you assign someone on each side of your families. I think aunts or cousins are usually perfect for this. They're often asking if there's something they can do to help, but have somebody on each side of the family to be in charge of that list and make sure that they have it ahead of time. They can be standing at the back of the church or the ceremony location, making sure that the people on that list aren't leaving. And they can also just make sure people are ready. Although your planner and your photographer will have this list, they don't know who these people are. So that's why it's really important to have somebody that is not a part of the wedding party or like your parents, because they're likely going to be in a lot of these photos, but have somebody outside of the immediate family or wedding party that knows who they're looking for. It's going to make things go so much smoother. Number 8. Schedule quick moments for just the two of you throughout the day. I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but the day is absolutely going to fly by. It's going to feel like a blur. It happens. It might sound silly, but make sure that you schedule a few quick moments throughout the day for you and your new spouse to simply take a moment and just soak it all in. Even if you don't actually do anything during these times, often the act of just putting it in your schedule will make sure that you're likely to appreciate these moments when they naturally pop up on the wedding day. Here are some times that I think are great opportunities for you to just naturally take a pause and breathe it all in. Number 1, with your family or wedding party, right after you've gotten dressed, before you head out for photos or the ceremony. Number 2, right after the ceremony, before you start with the family photos. Number 3, just before your reception space opens for your guests, take a moment with just the two of you and the photographer, if you'd like to have it captured, to see your reception room for the first time. Especially important if the design and decor has been really important to you in the planning process. And at some point after the dance floor has opened, preferably with a piece of cake or maybe a glass of champagne, ideally one of each. Number 9 is another one that might sound like a no-brainer, but is so important, and that is to eat. There is so much focus on the reception meal throughout the planning process that often the other meals of the day get overlooked. It's easy to forget that you and your wedding party will need to eat prior to the reception on your wedding day. For those having hair and makeup done, get trays of pastries, cheese, or fruit, or some other simple finger foods. Those are ideal. I'm also loving the trend of charcuterie tables for this, but it might not be the best option if you're limited on space. The idea though is to have items that are super easy to pick at throughout the morning so people can eat between their hair and makeup appointments. For those not having hair and makeup done, you will likely have it much easier that morning. You're not restricted by those time constraints, but I still recommend you have a plan in advance for what you're going to do for breakfast and lunch for the wedding party. In addition to the food you'll need while you're getting ready, make sure to pack a bag with some light snacks and water to have with you throughout the rest of the day. Especially if you'll be on a party bus with the wedding party for photos, make sure to put someone in charge of packing up a cooler with the drinks and snacks. Groomsmen are often more than happy to be put in charge of this task. Make sure there's more than just alcohol in that cooler. On the day of, if you're not in the mood to sit and eat during dinner, or you can't seem to get a second to sit down, people will be coming and chatting with you throughout the dinner service. Ask your caterer if they can box up your dinner, some desserts, or maybe your late night snack for you. You will likely be starving by the end of the night, so you'll be really happy to have something to snack on after you leave the wedding. And number 10 is a simple but powerful tip. Don't obsess over the small details. It doesn't matter how much time and money you've put into your wedding, something will go off plan. There are so many people and so many details involved in a normal wedding day. You can't possibly keep flat tires or rain or other hiccups that come with life happening that day. Most of the time, it's something minor and a reason why you hire professionals to swiftly take care of it and get things back on track. But even if something bigger does come up or goes wrong, keep focused on the reason for the day and try your best to not let it impact your ability to enjoy everything. At a certain point, I recommend just prior to the rehearsal, you're going to need to decide to just let go of the things that you can no longer change or control and embrace and enjoy the celebration with your family and friends. For some, this is going to be harder than others. If it is harder for you, it's probably something that you want to spend a little bit more time making sure that you're comfortable embracing. If you're looking for more wedding planning resources, I really encourage you to head over to planningcollective.com/forgetting to get our Don't Forget list. And if you found this podcast helpful, please take a quick second to rate and review on the platform that you're listening on. It would mean the world to me, and it will help other couples get the wedding planning tips and help they need. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.